Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, and I'll get us started in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you for our time together. I thank you, Lord, that you unlock the mysteries of your kingdom. You unlock these precious, precious gems discovered in your word, and you make them real for us. I thank you, Lord, for all of our intercessors, all of those who are hungry, who are thirsting after you, that they're here tonight. I pray that you would settle things around us, that we might be attentive to your word. Open our eyes that we may see. Open our ears that we may hear. And come to know and understand your word in unprecedented ways. I thank you. In your precious and holy name, amen. So, like many of you, I spend a lot of time reflecting on where the nation is, and a lot of time praying about where the nation is and seeking the Lord on this to find out what it is that he wants us to do, what he wants, how he wants us to pray, where the focus is, the lessons he's wanting us to learn. These are all things that I seek him for in this season of time. And I was praying about this a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord gave me a vision. And in that vision, I saw the chaos that we see, that all of us see. I saw the chaos that's out there. I saw it just looked like, you know, when my kids were younger, I would take them camping, and we would always go to the beach. And, you know, when you go to the beach, it just doesn't even matter. You are taking sand out of your shoes, out of your clothes, out of your car forever. I mean, I feel like I just get the sand out of my truck, and it's time for our next camping trip to the beach. And so, we would go, and I would, you know, we'd dry everything out, pack it all up when we get back home. And then the next year we'd go, and I would pull everything out so I can check and make sure everything's working. And, you know, we have all the tent poles, and we would get the tarp, and I would lay it out and then just go to shake it, and sand would just fly everywhere, right? Just a gust of sand. And that's what the nation looked like. Like I shook the tarp and the sand went everywhere. And I thought, oh, Lord, that's pretty bleak, you know. That's just, maybe you could give me the other side of this. And what he was showing me is really where we are, and that he has taken this nation and shaken it. And we've seen this taking place for the last year and a half, a little bit more than that, actually. And while I was contemplating this, thinking, you know, I'd really like to see the other side of it, I was praying in the spirit, looking for this, and it did take some time. And he came over as though I was at a desk with him. And he took what looked like a transparency, and he rolled it out across the desk. And I saw his plan for this nation. I saw it. And it was remarkable. It was a beautiful image, not necessarily cosmetically, but what I saw was the heart of the nation. And I saw it turned with the transparency laid across the rubble. It was though the rubble disappeared, as though he took that tarp and he shook it off, and the dust and the sand and the dirt and all of the events of the previous camping trip blew in the wind. And that tarp, I mean, that transparency laid out. And I saw the nation come alive. And he, over the course of the next several days, he began to unpack the destiny of the nation. Not that we haven't talked about this or prayed about this or it's brand new information, but what he was unpacking to me, because I know that the Lord has spoken before about this, but what he unpacked was the beautiful reminders of the destiny of this nation. When the settlers came here to this country, a covenant was made. God put it in their hearts as many fled from religious persecution. God put it in their hearts to come to this nation, fleeing from crisis situations, to come to this nation because he was in the process of building a nation that would, in the end times, be a refuge nation. That's what he told the first settlers who came. That's what he told those that were fleeing areas. That's what he told Rabbo when he was fleeing, and they slaughters abound when he came here. That's what he told our founding fathers when they laid out the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. He put within them the knowing of what this nation needed to be a refuge nation, to be a nation that would not only bring people in who were fleeing devastating situations of persecution, but to be a nation that would send forth the gospel in unprecedented ways. No other nation releases the gospel like America. No other nation releases the gospel in all forms, in the word, with missionaries, with funding, like America. We are birthing in the earth the church. That's what we're doing. That's what America was founded for, which is why the elite have their plan to destroy this nation. Because if they can snuff out this light, then they have it. There's no other place to go. The covenant that God created, that God put within our founding fathers, that God put within the first settlers that came here, the covenant that he made with them as they fled and came here to set this nation up, was a covenant that has been written in heaven. That's why there is a copy of our Constitution in gold in heaven. Well, that's probably the original. We've got the copy here. That's why it's there. Because it was sealed by God. The covenant that he has made with America and our purpose, our destiny, is just as valid and just as real, just as genuine, and has the same impact today that it did then. And the enemy knows that. That's why he's trying to destroy this country. So when he laid that transparency out, he said, this is the destiny of America right here. I have it all laid out. The plans and purposes that I have for this country will be fulfilled if my people will pray. Because I will keep my covenant. Will you? And that's what he said to me. I will keep my covenant. Will you? And I don't believe that that question was just for me. I believe that question was for all of us. Will we keep our side of the covenant? We think, well, I mean, he didn't, you know, maybe come to me personally. But as members of the body of Christ, as the intercessors, as the praying church, we have a responsibility to uphold our part of the covenant. The covenant that God made with America is just as relevant as the covenant that God made with Abram before he was Abraham. Just as significant as the covenant he made with Abram was to Israel and Israel's actual birthing. We read about that covenant throughout Scripture. God is a covenant-keeping God. When we read about that covenant, the establishing of that covenant with Abraham was to bring forth the lineage of Christ. That would be who? Our Savior, the Son of God, our Savior. That wasn't just about this piece of land that we right now are fighting for. That was about the bringing forth the lineage of the Son of God. Just as significant as that covenant was between God and Abram to bring forth his son is the same significance, significance that God has made with America to raise up a nation that would be a place of refuge for his people. To birth the end time army, to birth the end time church, to birth his end time family. We don't see that. We're a young nation and we're relatively small. We're pictured by the media as power hungry, as selfish. All we care about is ourselves and getting ahead in life. But the reality of it is, this nation sends out more messengers of the gospel than any other nation in the world. This nation is birthing and filling up the kingdom of heaven with saints. The destiny of this nation is to be the light of God in all the earth. And we, in our finite minds, often only consider what's happening in our little piece of the world. We don't think about the big picture. We barely think outside our home, maybe our city. We focus on the elections every 4 years. We don't think about things that reach outside our borders, of our city limits, let alone our nation. And God in this hour is wanting us to let him reveal to us his plan for this country. His plan to birth his kingdom here on earth. To birth his family. He's wanting us to sit before him and let him roll out the transparency that reveals to us the destiny that he has set in motion for this nation. every once in a while, the enemy comes in and he sends in someone who's going to try to snatch away our understanding of that destiny. In fact, often he will send in so many distractions that we lose sight of eternity altogether, unless it's in respect to us and our children. He's calling us to mature. He's calling us to take our step ahead. When I was in that truck and he literally thrust my truck forward, it was a thrust forward in time. When I spent that hour and he had me on that people mover and he was thrusting me forward, and it finally clicked. He's saying, I'm saying, open up your eyes that you might see. Open up your ears that you might hear. Open up your understanding that you will get sight of my view of this nation. My view. So that you can link yourself up with my understanding, my perception of eternity. Why is that? Why is it so important for us to allow him to thrust us forward in time? Because the enemy is fighting so hard to interfere with God's plan for this nation. The enemy is trying to expedite the release of the Antichrist. The enemy is trying to expedite the release of demonic warfare. The enemy is trying to expedite his plan in whatever way he possibly can. And if we don't open up our hearts, open up our minds to see what God is saying in this hour and catch up, it's going to pass us by. And in this hour, he wants to catch us up. He wants to use us to birth the revival. He wants to use us to release his kingdom here on earth. He wants to use us to get the victory in this nation. He wants to use us to set things right in terms of this election. He wants to use his children, you, to set things right. When the Lord spoke in parables, and he explained all of that to them, he said, when he spoke in parables, when he spoke about the seed, when a sower went out to sow, and he sows out, he throws out seed, and it's by the wayside. It's in the rocky area. There's some that's in good soil. But one of those batches of seed that gets thrown out, the Bible tells us in Matthew 13 and Luke 13, I think it is, and Mark 4, the Bible tells us that seed is scattered. And the fowls of the air come and they snatch it up because it wasn't on good ground. It's just by the wayside. The fowls of the air come and snatch it up. So here is seed. Here is a seed that is being released into us right now. It's the seed of truth. It's divine revelation. What God is saying about the country. Are we going to hear what God is saying about the country and pray into what God is saying about the country? Are we going to let the enemy, when the Bible talks about the fowls of the air snatching something up, where the enemy comes in, the wicked one comes in, snatches it up, that's demonic activity. And they come in and snatch it up. They come in and snatch up your truth. They'll come in and snatch up your destiny. They'll come in and snatch up your revelation and replace it with deception at any given moment. So we have to come to a place where we are seeking his face, where we are seeking understanding, where we are seeking revelation, where we are quest, our very quest is for a greater understanding of who he is through his word, through prayer. Why? So that when the destiny that God has set in motion, either for our lives, our families' lives, our city, our state, or our nation, when that destiny is out there on the conveyor belt, we are in sync with God's destiny for the nation. The moment we say, I'm going to step on over because, you know, I am just worn out. The enemy comes in like a thief. The enemy comes in, the wicked one comes in, and he will snatch that truth right out of your heart. He will come in and snatch your destiny at any given moment. Because the more people he can get to be discouraged, the more people he can cause to run around in circles until they're fatigued, the more he can do this, the more he can create bitterness in the heart of man, the more he can create division in the body of Christ, the more that he can wreak havoc in the lives of the people of God and get them off of their target, off of the destiny that God has set before them, the easier his fight is. He is calling us in this hour to rise up and take our place, to allow him to expand within us an understanding of who he is, what his plans for us are, what his plans for this nation are, what his plans are for this generation is. So that we can step into our place in his kingdom. The enemy does anything and everything he can to thwart destinies. When he stirs up the races against each other, it's a powerful weapon. That's why he uses it. I had a vision, it was years ago, but I had this vision, and there was a white man and a black man, and they were standing shoulder to shoulder. And when they did that, they were looking straight ahead, but their focus was on the Lord. And when they came and stood shoulder to shoulder like that, their shoulders fused together. And when that took place, our nation became a force to be reckoned with. The enemy, it was like he had lost one of his major weapons against the body of Christ. He had lost one of his major weapons against this nation because he couldn't stir up the race issue. And they became a force to be reckoned with. He couldn't divide them anymore. The enemy stirs this up a lot of times to make our black brothers and sisters feel like they don't belong, even though they're one of the most powerful assets we have in the army of God, to feel like they don't belong here. But yet God, and they even devalue life. They devalue life in the womb. They start to tear apart the beauty of the gift of life. And one of the reasons the enemy does that is because if he can make you feel like you don't belong, what has he done? The enemy has come in and he snatched up your destiny. I don't belong here anyway, so what's the point in trying? When the enemy comes in to snatch up who God created you to be, our first instinct has to become one that goes to the Word and begins to fight. Because if we can learn to go to the Word, first of all, the enemy cannot stand it when you get in the Word. He can't stand it. He can't stand hearing it. You get the Word and you start reading it out loud, he's going to lose his mind and leave you alone. Because he can't stand it. The Word of God is alive. And it physically pains him to hear it. We have to become a people who so hunger and thirst after his word, after time with him, that when the wicked one comes in and tries to snatch up our destiny, our instinct is to go there, and eventually he's going to take notice. And not only is he not going to be able to snatch up your own destiny, but he's not going to be able to snatch up your purpose in the nation. You will be armed so that when the Lord comes and he puts and rolls that transparency out on the desk in front of you, you will see your place in fulfilling that destiny. The destiny of the nation, the one that raises up the end time army, the one that ignites in the heart of men the light of God, the one that releases the gospel into all the earth, the one that seeks, that cries out to God to bring forth his heavenly will here on earth, the one that releases the kingdom of heaven in the earth. This is what he's calling us to be. This is the place that God is calling us to walk. This is where the purpose is. Why does God speak to people? Why does God speak to his prophets? To ignite in the heart of man, to align and ignite, to plant the seed, to have it watered, and to cause it to birth life in you and in your heart, if you're willing to receive it. For the purpose of prayer, for the purpose of ignition, for the purpose of life being birthed in you. The very thing, and I've shared this before, that at the moment of conception, there is a spark of light. They caught it on camera, a spark of light that ignites the moment the sperm penetrates the egg. They've captured it on film. That is the light and the seed of the living God in you that will draw you back to him at the appointed time. That light still resides in you. That light still lives in you, and it still is aching to thrive within you, that you might step into the fullness of God's purpose in creating you. Not only creating you, but creating you here and now in this time in history. That you might be a part of a much bigger purpose, a part of building the army that will birth the end time harvest, the revival that's coming that will expand the hearts and the minds of believers in ways that we have never thought possible. There is a place, the Lord showed me this just last week, there is a place that is in each one of us, a place in our heart, a place in our soul, a place in our minds, a place that is reserved to be ignited the moment revival hits. And it will expand your mind to see through the eyes of God. Expand your heart to see possibilities you never thought were out there. To expand within you an understanding of who He is. Why? So that you could release it into the earth. There is a piece of us that is reserved for revival that will not come alive until that revival hits. Why is that? So that your quest will be to hunger and thirst for it. To hunger and thirst for it. We've talked before, and I have to close in just a minute. We've talked before. In the midst of Reformation, mighty things take place. Mighty things. Witty inventions. Why? Because Reformation unlocks that in us. It unlocks in our minds a place reserved for Reformation. And if you can just open up your vision to see what I'm saying to you, you'll know it's true. There's a place in us reserved for revival. That's why when revival takes place, the entire city will function around the revival. Businesses will close in time for the revival service. Dinner will be done and people will be fed in time for revival. Businesses will not be open on Sunday because it's all-day revival. Crime drops. Alcoholism drops. Why? Because what has happened is the thing that's in you that has been waiting for revival is now being filled and satisfied, and your entire life begins to revolve around revival. So that you will pour all that you are into it. Because it's your destiny to be a part of it. God created you for it. We are on the cusp of a major revival that will sweep the world over. I've shared this before. Mom has shared it before. There's been prophets out there that are releasing this. Why? So that we will be ready and that we will keep our eyes targeted on the purpose of God for our life, and that is to birth in this nation the revival that's going to come forth and sweep the world. So that when the enemy comes in with his little demons to steal your part of that destiny, you can rebuke him. You can sit before the Lord and you can let him roll out that transparency and you can say, where am I in this transparency? And with your heart open, your mind open, you perceive and understand so that you can align yourself with God's will for your life and partake of this mighty wave that's coming and the souls that will be won in the midst of it, the lives that will be changed in the midst of it, the people that will be healed and delivered in the midst of it. There's a piece of you that has been waiting and longing and aching for revival, and it will never be satisfied until you are immersed in it. So when the enemy comes in and says, it doesn't matter what they're saying, that's not really happening, you need to rebuke him. Go to the Word and cry out the Word of God so that the enemy will flee, because his desire is to snatch it away. Snatch away your destiny. Snatch away what God has created you for. Rise up, brothers and sisters, and fight for your part of this destiny. Fight for this nation's destiny. We will see God right the wrongs that have been done in 2020. We will see it. I have seen the Lord right these wrongs. This morning alone, and I'll share this when I pray, I had a vision of President Trump, and I'm going to pray into this today. I saw him. He was facing, the sun was rising, and I'm going to close with this. The sun was rising. He was facing east, and there was this look in his face. And suddenly, he turned to the left. And with the determination, we've seen many memes that have done this determined look in his face, like he is fighting. He is fighting for you. He is fighting for his children. He is fighting for his grandchildren. This determination in his face. He turned to the left and he began to walk. And as he walked, there was a huge dust cloud behind him. Because everything that was stopping him from entering the Oval Office was decimated in his wake. Decimated. And he went forward to finish this race. And the enemy was so afraid. Every single person that has fought against him, they were scrambling around. They were picking up their day planners. They were picking up papers. They had terror in their face because they knew they were going to be exposed. And I am telling you, they were trying everything in their power to flee. And he was on his way. And they knew it. God is going to right this wrong and save this nation. And it will be God that does this. God that gets the glory. God that gets the victory. And when he does, it's going to open the eyes and the hearts and the ears of man to who God is. He's not going to be an idea. He's going to become real in their hearts. And I am telling you, we will see the spark of revival begin, and it will sweep across this nation. Where will you be? If the Lord came to you right now and he rolled that transparency out in front of you, could you see yourself? Because if you can't, get on your face and before him and don't get up until he shows it to you. Because he wants to ignite within you your sliver of it and open up your spirit man to receive a knowing in your heart that it's coming and you have a part in it. Thank you, Father God. I thank you for every person that's on this line. I thank you for the people that will listen to this later. I thank you, Father God, that victory is coming. And I thank you, Father God, that just by being here, they are seeking out the word of the Lord because they are hungering and thirsting after you. And their greatest desire, oh God, is to know so that they can align their actions, their hearts, their minds with the preferred will of God. Isn't that what Matthew 13 tells us, teaches us? To receive the seeds that are truth, that we can align ourselves with the preferred will of God. Father God, ignite faith in each and every one of us, that we will cry out for the victory that we see coming. In your precious and holy name, amen.